What's up, everybody? You know who this is. It's your girl, Tigress Queen, along with my co-host with the most smooth caramel, Mr. Carl D, and silky milk, Mike J. And you are listening to Tigress Corner Talk Radio, where we always aim to give you the matter of fact of the situation. This edition of Tigress Corner Talk Radio is brought to you by Tigress Lane Enterprises, in association with Blog Talk Radio Network, Porsche Media Group, and Silky Milk is Laughter Entertainment. Now go ahead and turn your volume up, get your red cup of cool something, and enjoy this 30-minute ride. Fellas, how you doing tonight?
What's up, Miss Tigress? Wow!
It's getting better. It's getting better, y'all. It's coming back. It's coming back.
I'm feeling like a tiger myself.
It's coming back.
Sweet.
What's up, Silky?
Oh, you know me. I'm always chilling. I'm feeling sexy tonight.
You feeling sexy?
Yeah, feeling sexy.
So what y'all got planned for this weekend?
All right, I must say I will be vacationing this weekend.
All right, where you vacationing? Just so the fans can try and find you. You ain't telling?
I'm going to keep that a secret. But if you see me, you see me. If you don't, you don't.
right.
It's one
find
of
me.
Yeah,
where's Waldo?
There's a where smooth.
Right.
Silky, yeah. What you got planned?
I'm feeling sexy, so need I say more, Tigress?
Oh, my.
Oh, and you looking at me. Okay.
Your weekend is booked up, too.
Okay.
Booked up, caught up, and shut up.
That's okay. Right. Toot it up. And then,
I don't toot up.
Well, rub it up.
I was about to say, no, you can't toot that up.
No.
Oh my.
Now, last week, fellas.
Gotta
okay,
set it up. You know? A toot is for a little booty. Something like that, you gotta set up.
Yeah, you need a boom.
That's right, a boom mic stand.
Okay, but thank you so much. Anyway,
you are more
last
than welcome.
Week,
glad we could help.
We talked about the, I can't stand y'all, the growing epidemic of mental illness in this country. More specifically, we talked about the young lady in Cincinnati who was diagnosed with postpartum psychosis and ultimately beat, stabbed, and decapitated her 3-month-old daughter. Now, tonight is part two, and we're going to shift gears a little bit with this subject and talk about the young 28-year-old German man, I hope I'm saying his name right, Andreas Lubitz, who intentionally crashed his plane into the French Alps recently, killing himself and about 150 passengers. On Germanwings flight 9525. And there were reports recently on CBS News that he had suicidal thoughts prior to this particular flight. And tonight, joining us for part two of this discussion is our new resident psychologist and mental health expert, Dr. JB. We introduced her.
Everyone again.
Yeah, we introduced her on the show last week and announced that she has now joined the Tigress Corner Talk radio family as the first resident expert on the expert panel that we are in the process of forming. So let's welcome back Dr. JB, you guys.
Woohoo! Yes, she is.
Thank you for having me again.
Glad to have you, Dr. J.B.
J. Bizzle. And I'd like to thank you for diagnosing me on that last show. I really went home and thought about it. And I am a sociopath.
You're a sociopath.
Yes, because I had sex with a lot of ugly women and I didn't regret it.
All you were doing was helping them.
In the day.
That's right. They were depressed.
And you were the cure.
I was the cure.
And they're still depressed today.
That's right,
you
because
obviously didn't cure
post-penis depression. You got to listen to the first show to understand it.
You got to. Double P.
Double P. PPD.
That sounds like a doctor's
name. Comments that you all receive on this blog, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
Now it's a Tigress Corner.
They live and live in color tonight, Dr. JB. They really are.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I actually kind of just wanted to get into this whole thing with this young man, 28 years old, like I said before. I mean, what are your thoughts on that, Dr. JB, as far as this young man goes, crashing this plane intentionally?
I mean, as we talked about before, clearly he was at a pretty severe place. with whatever he was dealing with. Someone was talking about depression, and so I don't know if that's exactly what it was, but definitely he was severe enough to know that he was way, when you've gotten to that point and have some intention and carry it out, that person is pretty far mm-hmm. out there in terms of needing help, but it's kind of hard to bring them back. So mm-hmm. that is the unfortunate piece, and all the family members who now have to grieve the loss, you know, which is also another mental mm-hmm. concern. It's not a major one, but bereavement and dealing with the loss of a loved one and such tragedy also is now going to have to be dealt with from those 139 or 150 family members. So it's a lot. It's a lot going on in terms of, you know, one person's decision, how it impacts an entire, I would say, nation at this point in world, because we're mm-hmm. talking about it and it didn't even happen in the United States.
Right.
Wow.
Right. I mean, it's just, I just don't understand it myself. I mean, it just seems like almost, if it's not every week, it's almost every month or every couple of months that we're hearing of, the, you know, these kinds of tragedies, and it's all going right back to some form of depression or some form of mental disorder, you know?
It is. I would say depression depression is schizophrenia and two disorders for different reasons that can contribute to suicide.
Mm-hmm.
And suicide, and what we refer to as suicidal ideation. And ideation is the idea that, you know, maybe you don't want to die, but maybe it would just, you would be better off if you weren't here today. Don't have any intention to kill yourself, but if you got hit by a bus, it wouldn't be a bad idea.
Wow.
Wow. So, Dr. JB, do you, from your expert opinion, do you think if he wasn't on the plane that he still would have committed suicide?
That's a good question.
He probably would have.
Okay, just a different way.
His state of mind suggests that, you know, that he was already at that place. And so, you know, what's interesting, I think, for some is this whole this kind of pre-calculated, you know, you can't just go and do this and show up one day and just go crash a plane. This actually has to be thought out. And mm-hmm. in fact, suicide, those who intend to kill themselves and others, actually have already decided how they're going to go about doing it what they're going to do.
Oh, my.
And at some point towards the end, what you will find is they're actually a little bit happier
uh-huh.
than they've ever been. And
wow.
that's because they've already made the decision
wow.
they're going to do. Taking their life, and nobody can convince them of it. But once that person is at that place, from my perspective, they come in my office and say, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go get a plane and crash and make sure, you know, crash into a building. That's when, as a professional, I have to say, I can't let you leave my office. I have to call police and escort you to a hospital
because right.
you're not safe to yourself or others. But those individuals usually would not come to my office.
But, you know, that's what I don't understand, I guess, about, especially about this situation and maybe some other similar ones out there. Why take people with you?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? If you want to end your life, then do it on your own.
Thank you.
Why take people with you?
That was my point exactly. Why couldn't he just go rent a little charter plane and just run it into the plane himself, or just get a bike and just run off a mountain? Why you got to take other people with you? That's selfish. Very selfish. Kill yourself. Stab yourself. Don't kill other people.
Right. Cut your wrist.
They ain't done nothing to you.
And that's the tricky part. We don't really know, was he psychotic at the time? Did a voice tell him to do that? Probably not, because, again, there were some pre-calculated things that happened. Right. The other thing is, was he a sociopath?
So, I mean,
a person who didn't care and just said, I don't care. I'll just take everybody with me. I won't have any remorse. I'm just going to do whatever. We don't really know the state that he was in leading up unto this event. The picture that's painted of what we see is like this poor guy, he had depression, and he just happened to crash that plane because he was so depressed.
But you know something, on the surface, and based on what I was reading about him, on the surface, he appeared to be this normal, well-adjusted, you know, he was kind of quiet, but he was still kind of a social guy. I mean, his classmates who took the piloting classes with him, or pilot classes, said that he was a nice guy, that he seemed normal. They never would have expected him to do something like this. So that just tells me that you just never know who the person is sitting next to you. You know, they might seem one way on the surface, but they can be really dealing with some real issues and some demons.
I'm going to tell you what did it for him. His ex-girlfriend unfriended him on Facebook. After that, there's no reason to live.
You think
see what
so?
I'm saying? There's no reason to live after that.
Is that your analogy, Silky?
She unfriended me. My life as I know is over. I'm going to get...
You know what, though? It's very interesting because we see a lot of that happening. You see that when people are using social media, Facebook included, and actually, I can't remember when this happened. It was a couple of years ago. Walked somebody through suicide who actually followed through and killed himself.
Was that the guy that shot himself? He went on Facebook or Twitter or something?
I think it was a teenager or somebody to do it, but remember... Where we're at right now is when a person is already depressed, it's not going to take very much, right, to get them to that point. So that friend, ex-girlfriend, now unfriending them becomes such this huge event in their life, but they've already been depressed and dealing with all this other stuff. And that's not uncommon with just Facebook, right? It's not uncommon for people in relationships where one person who doesn't want to break up says, well, if you break up with me, I'm going to kill you, or I'm going to kill myself.
Right.
That's not uncommon. But we just see it on social media now.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so that could have just added to the problem if that had happened.
Exactly, and it's already happening. It kind of fits in with cyberbullying and all the things you see with teenagers and kids nowadays of their friends saying very harsh things to them on social media.
Yeah.
That impacts their self-esteem, how they feel about themselves, so then they're suicidal. It is... gotten to a very different place now that it's very hard to track. I mean, in terms of social media, as a person, if I'm working with a client, as a psychologist with my client, I don't have access to their social media pages.
Mm-hmm.
But if I did, I would probably be quite surprised at the things that I would find that would probably tell me a lot more than what they might tell me when they walked in the office.
Okay, you just brought up something. How come you're not able to have access to their social media pages to kind of help you?
I could. I could if they added me as a friend or whatever, if I used it for that purpose.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, part of that is just ethics in terms of us making sure we keep boundaries with clients and not trying to, I wouldn't set up a personal page and add my clients to it.
Right.
They wouldn't need to tell me in that light. But if I wanted to set up a page as a professional for that purpose to see, to shed some light on who they are, probably actually nowadays, if I was working with adolescents, which I had before but not currently, I probably would do something like that because that would probably tell me a lot about who they are, who their friends are, what they have to say. And it would actually make for probably an enriching experience.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, this guy was 28 years old, and I've done just a little bit of reading and research, like on schizophrenia and different forms of schizophrenia. Now, Dr. JB, is it true that men tend to develop schizophrenia slightly earlier than women in a lot of cases?
I believe that is the case. Don't quote me on that, but I believe that is the case where the onset is at a younger age as well, and more men than women. So does that make a huge difference? It could, but they still may be experiencing similar things. But schizophrenia has been, they've actually found that schizophrenia is more genetic in terms of there's an increased likelihood of another, say if the child, if one parent has it, there's a 50-50 chance that a child or any of the children would actually have it.
Oh, okay, so it would be parent-child then, so it doesn't actually, do you think it actually could skip a generation?
It could. It doesn't mean that someone has to have it, and it doesn't mean that they will get it, but based on the research they found, there is a connection to genes as it relates to schizophrenia with family members. And the type could vary. There are actually various forms of schizophrenia. A lot of people might not know that, but it can manifest itself very differently where one person is more paranoid Mm-hmm. So they might believe that people are following them, or like the young woman who ran her car into the White House, there might, you know, some kind of paranoia or things kind of happening that are not really true. Mm-hmm. And then there are those who are not paranoid, but, you know, they're just basically hear voices and maybe are seeing things. So it actually can manifest in very different ways.
Wow. So, are you saying that this young man was, if he was, of course he had a mental illness. So does the mental illness actually cause you to be specific in what you're going to do? Like, he chose a plane. Why not? I mean, was that just his profession? Is that just... You know, of course he was a pilot, but why not something else? Is that a form of a do they have the, should I say, the autonomy to be specific on how they're going to commit suicide?
Yes, it's not connected to the mental illness, but people use the means that they have most access to.
Okay.
In order to do it.
And in his case, he was a pilot.
What we find is, in terms of suicide, men are more likely to use handguns, and women are more likely to use, say, pills or medication.
Mm-hmm. Okay, because I was...
Men actually do more kind of harsher things, so they might, you know, kind of tie a rope around their neck. Mm-hmm. Things that are, you know, you would probably actually stereotypically think, oh, yeah, that would make sense that a guy would do that, jump off a building, where women would do things like, I don't know, maybe slit their wrist or take some pills or run into, drive their car into a lake or something like that.
Wow. Something that'll keep their hair intact when they're found.
Is that, they might want to go out looking very well.
You
that's
see
possible.
What I'm saying? Yeah. Because I was wondering.
What they have access to and what they know, right? So the medicine cabinet for most women, you got something for cramps or something, you know. Mm-hmm. People are, you know, for example, remember Fantasia some years ago?
Yeah, she tried to.
Yeah, she did.
She took a bunch of aspirin, I believe. Mm-hmm. It was aspirin or something she took. So it doesn't have to be, that was what she had at home time. And she actually said, I just wanted to, like, go to sleep for a while.
That's what she said.
Well, she wanted to go to sleep for a long time.
I'm about to say, well, my thing is you can't do much with baby aspirin. Nobody said it was Tylenol 4. They just said aspirin. It was 81 milligrams, and she just took 10 of them. That just equaled up to full Tylenol.
Right.
That's full Tylenol.
That
you ain't
wasn't
fooling
gonna do
nobody.
Anything.
Right. You just got a stomach ache. My tummy ache.
But she was hurting. You know, right, if you really want to take yourself out, you can really take yourself out. Now, you might do some organ damage.
Right.
Mm. Or if some other things or your organs go into failure as a result of maybe that. But clearly what she did is actually, she probably didn't have a plan. It was probably what we would call suicidal ideation, and then she actually then followed through by taking the pills. But had really no intention of ending her life. And so that's what's tough about this case with this guy is there's so many questions. You know, there's so many things we don't know about what happened to him.
Right.
But there's, you know, tons of things about, he was gay and nobody knew it. And he was in the closet and he was depressed for a while and he was teased. And so there's a lot of things to learn from, I think. You know, I mentioned cyberbullying and things like that. Mm-hmm. We don't know if that was the case, if those things happened to him when he was younger, if he was teased for being gay. That could contribute to a teenager, you know, feeling depressed and feeling like they're not good enough. So he probably has been experiencing these things for a while. You know, he's very young.
Right.
And it probably happened when he was a teenager or before.
Wow.
Yeah, 'cause it doesn't sound like it's something that just came about, you know, within the last couple of months. Obviously, something was going on with him that nobody knew about.
Well, at least he picked German wings instead of French wings.
Oh, my gosh.
What's the difference? What is the difference, Silky?
They taste better. I'm sorry, I had to.
Too soon, dear.
I'm
too
hungry.
me too.
Them wings is waiting on me.
So, Dr. JB, by the
Kevin now.
Oh, my. Yes, indeed. So he knew of a sure way of taking his life without, sort of say, he knew that there would be no way of him coming back to life. So this is why he chose to crash.
Something so drastic.
Right. His plane into Mount Everest.
He was in the black box. You can't destroy the black box unless you crash into a mountain.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? You got to have a grenade on the inside to blow up the
black
box.
But you know what? What was astonishing to me is that his co-pilot had gotten up to, I think it said, to go use the restroom. And when he came back to try and go back into the cockpit.
It was locked.
It was locked. Yeah. He was not letting anybody in there. So he was determined to carry out this mission of his, this suicide mission of
his. I'd have been mad, too, because there's only one parachute.
Ooh. But I just don't understand why take other people
with
you.
Yeah, why take
you?
People just, with you?
That's, yeah.
That
that's
is just beyond.
He could have hijacked the plane. He worked there. He could have stole it and just been about his business.
Right. I don't understand. Dr. JB, do you think somebody could have talked him out of doing it?
But unfortunately, at that point, I mean, the question is, it would have to depend on when it was, right? At some point, it would have to have happened much earlier. So if you remember what I said, is that by the time a person has clearly made up in their mind and has a plan, it is very hard to convince them otherwise, because they have already established in their minds, here's what I'm going to do, here's how I'm going to go about it. They've made peace with themselves and life, and what you might find is they start giving things away.
They kind of just
wanted you to have this, and it might be something that they really treasured in their life. So if he was at that state, there's no, it would be very hard to convince him otherwise. Even if he wouldn't have taken the plane, probably would have found another way, you know, to do it. Say if they were going to take you to jail, you know, tonight, they probably would have put him on suicide watch, because there's a high risk that he probably would still
Okay, so there's no turning back.
Right.
Once they get to that point.
Right.
Once down, stay down.
That's what they say. Either you get down or lay down.
Lay down. One or the other.
This is why it's really important when we talk about mental health and you see things happening, to not just act like it's not happening.
Right.
Because, you know, if the person, you know, with depression, some of the things that you might see, you might not know of, is like a person is sleeping a lot. And that could just be the tired, but there's a distinction of how their mood is in relation to how they're sleeping. So they're sleeping, or the mood is kind of down, the house kind of just dark, and like, I don't want to see anybody, I don't want to do anything. And again, there has to be some consistency. So we're not just talking about, well, I felt like that one day. We're talking about a continuous basis where this person is like, okay, it's a week now. It's 2 weeks now, and you're still kind of doing the same thing. I'm really concerned you're not bathing, or you're not really taking care of yourself. So you have to pay attention to family and friends. And if you don't have, you know, know of people who are like that in your life, it's very important to have them, just so somebody can kind of check in on you and make sure that you're doing okay, and can kind of call you out and say, you know, you haven't really eaten today, or, you know, I just want to make sure you're all right. And trust their instinct, right? Their instinct says, I don't know if I should leave them here by themselves, then you probably shouldn't.
Wow.
That's something that, you know, to think about. And I don't know if any of you have had those experiences, but, I mean, I felt like I had before. The person was okay, but I certainly didn't feel okay when I was talking to them.
Right.
That felt good, that if I left right then and there. Okay, so I waited, you know, maybe 30 minutes to an hour, or let them fall asleep first and say, okay, you feel okay if I stay here with you? Will you feel okay? Or call me or text me when you wake up.
Yeah.
That's an accountability.
I've had a couple of friends and where I've had similar experiences like that in the past, where I'm like, okay, something's not right.
At that point, is it okay to strap them to the bed until they come to their senses?
No, that might make it worse.
I mean, you could do that. However, they might kind of break free.
Yeah.
But then they're going to get free, right?
They ain't going to get free.
So they can't kill themselves.
Yeah. So what is a good way to enter?
Right? So the question, what I hear you saying is, at what point is this person not able to, you know, make good decisions for themselves, and I'm going to have to make the decisions for them? Is that kind of what you're asking?
Well, yeah, I mean, at what level do you actually know that this person is not competent, their autonomy is pretty much wavering, and you have to intervene? At what point, what are the signs? Will you see it, you know,
Well, that's what she was saying.
Here's a question I usually ask people, and I think anybody can ask this question to anybody they know, is, so if I leave here right now, will you be safe, and you need to define safe? Are you going to not kill yourself, and you have to be very specific? Will you not harm yourself, meaning try to take something and do damage to your body or someone else? And what I found in my own work is that if there's a hesitation or a pause, I'm more concerned than if they can answer that question right away and get defensive.
Right.
Okay.
So it's good to just knock them upside the head and just tie them up and tell them you can't kill yourself, right?
Well, you could, depending on the state of mind that they're in.
You see what I'm saying?
I mean, it's quick and easy,
I mean,
right?
They ain't dead. They just got a lump on their head with a headache. Give them 4 Tylenol.
Right. Extra strength.
Extra strength.
I ain't got time for that. Look, we ain't got time to be on funeral. So.
Right, right.
As long as we get to that hospital. Mm-hmm. And here's what you can say. Now, there's 2 ways. Most people, if you feel like a person is actually going to kill themselves, the best thing you can do, you can drive them to the hospital if they're willing to go on their own. Or if you feel like they're not going to go and they're telling you, I'm about to go kill somebody right now, you need to get on the phone and call the police, because you can't restrain that person. And if they run off, you might not be able to, you know, stop what's going to happen. So you allow the police to do their job and, you know, get that person safe and so the other people are safe. But the important thing is to do your part. And the other thing is what I hear you saying is, like, you're going to try to figure it out for yourself. Now, you can do that.
Pretty much.
And get time up and do all those things.
That's the more aggressive approach.
Yeah, you know, sometimes.
Eye, and you can see. And you can even say, like, look me in my eye. Can you guarantee me that you are not going to hurt yourself or kill yourself right now or tonight? And if they can't answer that question without hesitation or look down away from you and can't answer it, I wouldn't leave them by themselves.
Yeah.
Well, we just keep them tied up then.
Right. Because I'm not going to be sleeping in the house with somebody that...
You know.
I ain't going to be sleeping in the same house with somebody that's trying to kill themselves, because then they're going to try to kill me.
They're going
to
kill you first.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, so they
can kill themselves.
Right.
And I still got to play the wings to eat. So I'm going to really be mad.
Because you don't mess with a man's food. I'm
trying to tell you.
Ain't that right, Dr. JB?
Oh, well, I wouldn't either.
All right.
I wouldn't either. I will tell you, I've been in the very general, so I'm not too specific, but was staying at someone else's home. There's another person staying there. And they made several threats to another person in the house. And I said, I'm a little concerned that this person is not in the right frame of mind. But they kept being physically... I don't think this is really abusive, but he was actually a woman, and she kept kicking the man and kept doing little things and saying things. And I was like, I'm not feeling very safe in the house with this person, because for me, there was something wrong, something a little off balance.
Right.
So what did I do? I locked up all the knives, put them in, I actually took them out of the drawer and put them in the room where I was sleeping.
Yeah.
So that nothing would happen, at least in that way, that night. And it might seem crazy and absurd, but I felt safer.
Well, yeah, that was smart.
I didn't know this person well enough to know her to say, well, you know, do you have some problems, or da-da-da-da-da.
Right.
I talked to the boyfriend at the time and said, so you can't really help her? Are you concerned about this?
Or, right.
And they, you know, like most people, well, you know, she's kind of like that.
Yeah.
I said, yeah, this is a different level now when she's being physical with you and making threats. And you just broke up with her, this is not good.
No. Well, that was a smart thing to do, to get all the potential weapons.
And I hope your door was locked, too.
I'm pretty sure she had
it. Yes, I made sure to lock the door. And in fact, I told the boyfriend, she's not going to sleep anywhere else, so how about you sleep somewhere else to avoid any situations of her thinking in her mind that she wants to harm you.
Right.
In the
middle of the night. Well, well, this has been, once again, I could continue talking about this for so long. It's just been so interesting and enlightening. I guess you guys would say the same thing.
Yes, indeed.
But
yes.
It is that time again. And as always, this has been another great conversation. Mental illness is a very serious issue, and unfortunately, it is on the rise in this country. Now, our traditional old school church folk might say mental illness is nothing but a demon or demons possessing a person's mind, body, and spirit. Uh-huh. And to a degree, that might be true. However, we must still recognize that this is a mental and spiritual warfare that we're in. You know, if we don't stay prayed up and make sure that we keep our relationship with God tight, we too can find ourselves open and vulnerable to some form or forms of mental illness. The Bible tells us in Romans 12:2, verse 2, to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Mm-hmm. And we are to guard our hearts and our mind with the word of God so that we can stand against the weapons of mental illness. And or not weapons, well, I guess it would be kind of like weapons, right? Yeah. Of mental illness.
It's whatever you say.
I'm not trying to preach. I'm just stating facts because there have been times that I've gone through things where I felt like I might lose my mind. I think we all have. And if it was not for God and for his grace, I would have lost my mind.
Yeah.
And I think I can speak for all of you guys.
That's right.
But now, Dr. JB, can you real quick let our listeners know where they can get general information on mental illness or disorders?
Again, I usually recommend these, the National Institute of Mental Health, and also the American Psychological Association has information about any disorder. And also, oftentimes, there's also some tips or, you know, fact sheet that you can find for yourself or for a family member. There are also suicide hotlines that you can find.
Okay.
The violence hotlines. There's a lot of hotlines out there that people may not know about that you could also find and help someone else get help if you're not, you know, if you're not sure.
Okay.
And again, those are things that we can post and make accessible for everyone to find.
Uh-huh. Absolutely, absolutely. Well, once again, you guys, we want to thank our resident psychologist and expert, Dr. JB, for joining us tonight. And we look forward to hearing more from her on future upcoming episodes right here on Tigress Corner Talk Radio. Visit our show page at blogtalkradio.com/tigressqueen to listen to any of our archived episodes. And feel free to call us and leave a comment at 888-587-3359. Any last quick comments, guys?
Smooth, you got something?
People don't kill yourself.
All right.
And set them up for that one.
And on that note, folks, go forward and love and peace. And we are out.